The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. Our first guest today is an old friend of the programme, going back, near 20 years at this stage. He hasn't been on for a while. The last time he was on was with his best-selling book, 32 Words for Field, which came out during COVID and I think was really has been popular and a bestseller ever since. But he's back now with Scoil Scairse, which we'll talk to him about in a moment. But we're going to talk about the Irish language, which of course Moncal McGann is such a keen enthusiast for the Irish language and a promoter of the Irish language. And I understand you think that the advent of Chigi Cathair in 1996 is now paying off because of children watching the likes of Scooby-Doo and SpongeBob SquarePants. So I'm going to ask you to tell me, how do you say those pesky kids in Irish? And who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Give me those in Irish.
You know, the man who does come up with these is a man called Marcus McAneil, and he's just he's a wonderful, him and his brother Cúan are wonderful wordsmiths, but they put all these double entendres into them. So actually the Irish versions are often clever. They're never a direct translation, but they're way clever if you get all the different nuances and all connected to them all. But I do believe it was a change. Like, you know, you remember, we had Dahi Locke and people like that when we were young, you know, and it was sort of, anything in Irish was sort of second rate, was always a bit like, you know, cheesy and a bit not as cool. And what Chigi Cathair, when they start, they decided we're going to be as cool, as digital, as modern as anyone else. And I think they did slowly have an influence on the next generation.
Why do you think, has there been a revival since the 1990s, not just with Chigi Cathair, but with more parents as well sending children, particularly at primary level, to Gaelscoil now?
Yeah, I think what happened was, like, you know, we remember the 80s. We remember I had to go to work in Germany in the 80s. There was no job in Ireland. Like, the only way I was able to travel was I went off to Germany and other people went out, you know, America, Australia. People are going to Australia now, but there is job. There's actually, you know, there's plenty of work in Ireland. So Irish was odd. There was no way you had the luxury of thinking of taking on a language as a cultural asset when there was no jobs, when you didn't know how you were going to make a living. But that Celtic boom, you can attack a lot of elements that happened with the Celtic boom in the 90s. But one end, we felt secure, and the government obviously felt secure enough to set up this language, to set up this television station. But the rest of us sat back and thought, God, okay, if we're not running away, if it isn't just trying to survive, who are we? What is our culture? And I think from then on in, yes, so many things happened to begin that process of thinking Irish isn't just about backwardness or peasantry or you know, or lack of opportunity, but it's about who we are. And so,
yeah, but how many people do you think are now using it on a daily basis?
I mean, in that type of Gaeltacht way, you know, the Gaeltacht, as you know, are suffering. If you're talking about the practical idea of looking at the Gaeltacht, and that goes into, you know, government mismanagement and loads of socioeconomic elements. But as you know, the things I've always done is steered well away from that and just gone to the romantic side of the language and thought, look, all of those arguments that were made, the political arguments, the economic, the social arguments that are made about the language, they're all valid and they're all there. But still, we have this language that's like thousands of years old, and we're in a time, particularly in the 21st century, where everyone is yearning for meaning. Everyone is going out to their yoga mat, or everyone is going out, you know, trying to find some spiritual connection. And we have this language that is a key to a lore and a mythology that can open up whole worlds, you know, of meaning, of rootedness of who we are on this island in a world where everything is in shock and turmoil.
So you're saying it's a spiritual endeavour?
It's a cultural, it's a spiritual. Yeah. I think during COVID, people, like all of the holy cows we had for the last 20 years were first the church, you know, sort of crumbled. People moved away from that. Then the economy with the collapse of the banks, that all collapsed. Then during COVID, we thought our health, we thought our freedom was secure. All of that went. So people think, who am I? You know, as I said, from the 90s on, we were able to buy, and that was great. But at some certain point, you think, I don't have, as you say, I don't have a spiritual connection, but I don't have a connection to land. Like, we're a people who've been living on this land for 3,000, 4,000. I'm like, I've had Bronze Age lineage, and most people do. That's like 5,000 years or 4,000 years on the land. We want the connection to that. It's only natural that you would. And it just happens that you get that through one way of getting that is through reconnecting to the language and the law.
Yeah, a lot of people almost deny the language and the usefulness of the language. I do a political podcast with Ivan Yates called Path to Power, and recently when he was promoting it on television, he caused consternation by claiming that promotion of the Irish language is a waste of state resources. What did you make of that?
I mean, you summed that up beautifully. So when Ivan Yates is promoting his new podcast, he comes out with one of the holy grails that he knows is going to get PR. And I think the success of 32 Words for Field, it sideswiped all of those things. That's all it is. It's just been a political hot potato. You make the point. You say, oh, it was badly taught to me in school. Oh, it's the government's fault. And I'm just thinking, wait there. We're left with this gem, with this jewel. Beyond all the exact numbers of what the government did there or what's happening in the Gaeltacht, do we want to reconnect to who we are? And had I asked that question in my sort of innocent, idealistic way 20 years ago, people would have shrugged and said, ah, probably not. Let's go to Berlin or let's go to Boston. But it seems, and you can see it through all the numbers, you can see it through the thousands of people, you know, signing up for Duolingo. You can see it through the success of things like Colleen Kuhn. People want to reconnect.
Okay, but funnily enough, is Duolingo helping them to learn Irish in a way, or relearn what they learned in school, or to learn it in a way the school failed them?
Yeah, well, so that's the beauty. As you say, somehow our education system is pretty good in everything and it hasn't worked in Irish. And I think that could be not maybe down to the education system. I think it's a psychological thing. Like having a natural language, a native language, is a powerful thing. And so I think there was a block. Duolingo, by offering a sort of digital, a computer, a modern way of getting us into it, did offer a new platform. But my frustration with Duolingo, it's only an app. It's a computer game on your phone. You can only get a certain distance with it.
What about this psychological block? Is it because people associated Irish with poverty and English with getting on?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly, like, just imagine. I mean, I know it's in one way it's a stretch to go back with the famine to the famine, but it isn't. Our mothers knew, our ancestors' mothers knew, either we teach them English and they can have a future, they will live, not only by going to America or England or Australia, but just going to Dublin or Cork or Kilkenny, you needed English, or keep them with Irish and there was no future. It was that simple. Now, you know, all of this work with post-traumatic, with intergenerational trauma and post-traumatic stress, that's in our genes, it's in our bones. So since seeing people react to my book and saying, I want to connect, and me thinking, how should they connect? How do they connect? Whether they're in America or whether they're just disillusioned from having it, as they say, beaten into them in school, I wanted to find a new mode that might open their minds.
So what's Gaeltachta?
It's an attempt to rewild the mind, as it's like its lofty term. It's basically trying to immerse people in the Irish language. But to do that, you first need to get over all the hindrances, get over the memory of it having been taught to them in a stressful way in school, get over that dark element that might be the psychological element of us thinking, as you say, it was a language that was backward or dark. And then to try and do so in an immersive way, but also in an enjoyable way. But it's online. The ideal thing was if I could bring like 200 people out to the Gaeltacht and have them cutting hay in the old way and milking cows and, you know, speaking the language in the world that it was always spoken in. But it's just not practical. So what we've tried to do is like teamed up with a raft of over about 20 different creative
who.
So the people we're bringing on is like Professor Louis Dupuyer from Galway, who's a poet who did wonderful work with Aboriginal people in Australia, or Rosha Gowan, the former director of the Dublin Fringe, or NECAP, or Liam O'Mahony.
What are NECAP doing for you?
So what I'm doing, it's like about 22 hours. It's an online course, right? So you sort of sign up and then you have it for as long as you want. And you go through, there's either the language lessons, which is the whole grammar and phonetical part, the part that we still have the trauma. But then to make that medicine go down easily, I sort of do interviews with creatives and musicians. So with NECAP, I just did an interview with them, either both in Irish and in English. Because the whole thing is I'm thinking, okay, I want some people maybe who have newly arrived in Ireland and have no Irish at all to feel comfortable. But the other people who, I want them to think, oh, I have no Irish, but actually when they hear a few words, they'll remember an cúpla focal on Raung Scoile from the schoolroom, and they'll be sparked into it. So the likes of Timmy Creed, the actor, there's a yoga teacher, Maggie Creed. It's just people of different spheres of life who have alternative ways of seeing the world. Even there's this great Margaret Newton, who's in an Anishinaabe, so an Ojibwe elder from America who's learnt Irish. She has basically Irish and Ojibwe heritage. So she's been translating the poems of Martin O'Dearon into Anishinaabe. So she comes out, it's just to widen the horizon and to think, this isn't just a language about peg or poverty or on Mo Canilach. This is a way to be wild, to recreate that type of spiritual connection inside ourselves.
So this is learning the Irish language at home, in summary. So how do people access it? How do they get to it? Is it an online service or is it a box that's delivered to their home? What happens?
Yeah, it's basically, it's an online service. It's one of these other mediums that tie you to your computer, which offer incredible freedom because you can put a whole rake of different, like, you know, we've hours and hours of experience into it. I'd love if there was this, you know, they buy this package and they have the whatever 22 hours of all the different learning modalities. But then ideally would have some practical, would have sort of Cláiste de Sauda, Irish lessons, Irish classes, but gatherings that would be celebratory and that we would be picking seaweed and things. But the first step is this. The first step is to get them thinking and talking and listening to really bright, creative people who are speaking about the Irish language.
It does cost a bit. I think it's €199 plus VAT. But if you were to take a course at a college, sort of an extracurricular course, that's what it would cost you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And what I'd love if they did that, but also went to the local library and did the Kirkle Corah, the conversation classes, or every sort of cool hipster cafe will have now one time of the week where the Irish speakers gather together. So, because it's vital to be talking Irish amongst each other, but you also need the time where you're having the structure and then that time where inspiring people are giving you, because it's way more than the Irish language. It's, you know, what 32 Words was trying to convey was there's a mindset, a way of connecting to nature, a way of seeing the spirit world. And so we're trying to convey that too in Skullscarta.
Moncon McGon, Gor Mahagat, thank you very much for coming into us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.